I would like to mention an item of two of interest that over to the left side of the parking lot as you go out of the church, there's a ribbon on a tree. It's an old hitching tree that goes back I don't know how many years, but the ring is still on the other, on the western side of that tree where someone in the past hitched their mule or horse or whatever there. Also, near the road, next to that guy wire from the post there, is a cement block. That's where the first well for Mount Hermon Church was when the church was on this side of the road. And also, if you go over to the cemetery, to the right behind the shed, is a tombstone that's known as the bootlegger stone because it's hollow on the inside. And I'm told that in the past, back during the Prohibition days, that transactions were made at that tombstone. And also, I was reminded just a few moments ago by one of the descendants of the Dorsets, Bobby, that he remembered a sermon that I used the illustration back I don't know how many years ago. Thank you for the good memory, Bobby. About when I was first started to school, I rode a school bus for the first 3 years. After that, I had to walk the rest of the time, but because we moved. But he drove a school bus, and he put a flag right in the center of the hood of that school bus. He placed an American flag on the school bus. And when it started raining, when we were out on the route, he would stop and take that flag into the bus and then finish the route. That bus driver died for our country in Europe in the Second World War. Also, I would like to thank the anniversary committee of Levis Cronk, Joan Hudson, Kathy Goode, Jim Bernard, Bill Hall, Charles Payne. We appreciate the work, and especially Kathy and Joan. They did most of the work, and we appreciate the work that they did. And also, I want to thank everybody for the wonderful homecoming service on the 23rd and having Fred Anderson to come and share with us. And then on June the 20th, the special program, music program, that so many of you participated in. We appreciate that, all of you joining in and being a part of that special service. And like Elizabeth Taylor said to her last husband, I don't want to keep you too long. So we'll get started. The passage of Scripture was read for us from Matthew chapter 17, and talking about the Mount of Transfiguration, and we know that was, I think, played an important part in the naming of Mount Hermon Baptist Church. And so the subject this morning is, what's in a name? We're somewhat celebrating two birthdays, the birthday of our nation and also the naming of this church as Mount Hermon. As we think about all that went into the building of this country back through the years, the wars, the depression, the division, also something similar to that was happening within the ranks of a people called Baptists. But as we go back 234 years, to July the 4th, 1776, as we think about this young nation and all the things that happened during that time of the nation almost breaking up, soon after this church was founded. And many of our patriotic songs, the songs we have sung today, is based upon passages of Scripture from our Bible. And in the national anthem, the last verse of the national anthem talks about one nation under God. And I remember a quote from Ronald Reagan some years ago. Said, when a nation forgets that it's under God, it will be a nation that soon will go under. So as we think about then our allegiance to God and unto Him and to His love and care, we go back 175 years to July the 4th, 1835, when Mount Hermon called its first pastor, and they chose the name of Mount Hermon, and they chose Dr. Dorsett as the first pastor for Mount Hermon Baptist Church, and he was one of the 16 that had been meeting from May 23rd on up until this time. And so as we think about then July the 4th, 1835, those people that met and they chose their first pastor and they chose the name of Mount Hermon. So as we think about our subject, what's in a name? Why did they name this church Mount Hermon? And we find many passages of Scripture in the Bible that talk about the beauty of the peaks of Tabor and of Hermon. The dew from Hermon that blessed the people round about them. And in the passage of Scripture that was read from Matthew chapter 17, it talks about the high mountain and Peter wanting to build three places of worship upon that mountain. And so it is believed by many that Mount Hermon was the mountain that this transfiguration took place back there those many years ago. And this Mount Hermon, which is up in the area of Damascus, is over 9,000 feet high. It can be seen from all over that part of the world. And we think about over at the corner of the cemetery fence at Mount Hermon and Geneto, there's a marker that tells about that area is 282 feet above sea level. And you think about the 9,000 and so feet, almost 2 miles, and this mountain can be seen over that whole area. It is snow-covered the year-round. Much of the water that goes down the Jordan River is the snow and ice melting from the top of that mountain. And so as we think about then this church, why they chose the name of Mount Hermon. And I think it goes back to Mount Hermon stood out in that part of the world. It could be seen from everywhere. And you can travel all over this area. And people ask you, where are you from? Well, I'm from the Mount Hermon area. And most of them know where Mount Hermon is. Oh, that's that church that was built in the road almost. Because it was very visible from the very beginning, just as Mount Hermon was in that part of the world. And the first building was a log church built on this side of the road. And the records say it cost the whole amount of $86. And they borrowed it from one of those 16. And the records tell us that it took the church 14 years to pay that money back. That's what, paying back $6 a year? Or somewhere around that. As we think about, you know, that humble beginning with the church here in this community, here on this side of the road. And then the chapel was built in, I believe, 1859. And some of the pictures that have been on the bulletin for the past few Sundays shows that building had two doors. One for the women and one for the men. There was a divider down the middle. And the men sat on one side and the women on the other. And I'm told that the courting couples would sit next to that divider during the worship services. I'm not exactly sure when the divider was moved, but I know the church was updated and worked on in 1928. It may have been taken out then, but at least the divider was taken out back there in those years. And now in 2002 and 2003, this worship center was built. The parsonage was built, I believe, in 1946. The educational building to our left in 1960. So we see as they gradually move back across the road. We appreciate all the work and that went into this. And we have thought about the basic beliefs of that early group. They believed in missions. There was a controversy back in those days. If God wants to save the world, some people said, He'll do it without me or you. But this group believed that God wanted us to be a part of His mission for the world. Also, there was a controversy about where lay people can study the Bible or not in the setting such as a Sunday school. This group believed it was good for age groups to meet together and study the Bible together. Also, there was a controversy back in those days, as somewhat today, people drink too much alcohol. And I guess, you know, they rode their horses too fast or they spun a wheel on the buggy. But there was a problem with drinking, and we know that so many accidents that happen on the road today, they say alcohol was involved. And so this controversy or problem goes back many, many years. And then there was a fourth belief. They believed that their ministers should be educated as well as possible. They said, you don't want to go to a doctor that said, I was just called to be a doctor. I don't need to go to school. Or, I was called to be a teacher, but I don't need to go to school and study to be a teacher. This is not to say God can't do anything with a person as far as that is concerned, but they thought, if you're going to make a profession of the ministry, then you ought to get the best education possible. And I believe that's true also, that we should do that. I remember the story that was told years ago about a man who came and said, God has called me to preach. And he said, why do you believe that? How do you know? He said, well, I got up this morning and I looked and saw in a cloud, and there were the letters GPG. And I thought it meant, go preach the gospel. And they said, maybe that wasn't what the letters meant. Maybe it said, go plow your garden. So they believed that if you're going to be a minister, then you should. And that's, if you're going to be a carpenter, you should be the best carpenter you can be. Or whatever your profession might be. So as we think about then the calling of that first pastor and the naming of the church, Mount Hermon, they wanted it to stand out in this community, and I think they did a very good job, for we've been here for 175 years. Mount Hermon is looking forward to its 200th anniversary. And I kidded Brother Anderson and said, put it down on your date book, May 22nd, 2035, Mount Hermon will be 200 years old. So as we think about looking forward to the future, as we seek to carry on that dream that began 175 years ago, let it continue through us. If it's to be, it will be through people like you and me. In the popular TV program, Cheers, the emphasis was people liked to be in that group because it was a place where everybody knew your name. Everybody was your friend. Let that be true for Mount Hermon, where everybody is your neighbor, everybody is your friend. Everybody, as it were, knows your name. There's some verses that go something like this. You have to make a wish before that wish can come true. If you would gain an end, you must first make a start. You must first sow a seed if you would reap a crop. You'll have to make a climb if you expect to reach the top. You have to dream the dream before that dream can come true for you. There is an ancient law that says, and it's simple as can be, you have to know the truth before that truth can set you free. Thank God for Mount Hermon, and thank God for each of you. Let's pray. Thank you, dear Father, for this day and for the privilege we have of assembling together and worshiping together as we think about our history and how you have led us down through these many, many years. And we know if we keep our eyes on you, you will continue to lead. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.